Hi, this is Alex Terzian with Payments.com, and I'm here today with Richard Brown, Executive Architect for Banking Innovation at IBM UK, and Morgan Beard, Strategic Marketing Director at TSYS, to discuss the key factors that are driving worldwide mobile payment acceptance. Thank you both for joining me today.
Hi there.
To start, Morgan, what would you say are the key accelerators which will spur M-payments growth across Europe?
Alex, I think there are many factors at play, but there are really three key drivers. First, the schemes are playing an aggressive role in developing the merchant side of the equation. And then there are the recent mandates that are going to increase the install base of NFC terminals. Both the new or upgraded terminals for MasterCard and Visa merchants must accept contactless payments. In contrast, by 2020, all terminals, that is the new upgraded and existing terminals, have to take contactless payments as well. So while naturally the current penetration of POS terminals is varied throughout Europe, but 2020, there will indeed be some ubiquity. Second is the consumer's appetite for and ability to use contactless payments. Now, if you think of the average consumer, they increasingly hold a key component of the technology to enable contactless payments, and that's the NFC radio in their smartphone. And a lot of the new releases tend to have it as well. So the critical mass is increasingly there. And when you couple that with an increased appetite for contactless payments in general, you know, we got that one striking example, of course, is the London public transport system, where back in March, the number of contactless taps made on a single day for a tube, the underground, reached that magic 1 million threshold. And that was only, I guess, 6 months after the program's September 2014 launch. And then the third real positive indicator there is that we're starting to see finally meaningful inroads from the alternative mobile payment programs out there. I think there are probably 50 or so commercial and pilot services in the market today, Alex. In Sweden, the example that we always talk about is Klarna. They're doing some exciting things, letting customers buy things online using only their email addresses and postcodes. In France, there's Orange and Visa up recently to launch a prepaid card loaded onto the SIM card, and I could go on. There are myriad examples, of course, but there is a commonality. For mobile payments to reach critical mass, both the consumers and the merchants need access to a simple and rather frictionless solution. Apple Pay's recent entree, the bar, I think, is going to be raised much further, but the conditions are already ripe in the market. There's both the strong consumer appetite and merchant readiness. And I would like to say that probably in 2016 is going to be the year that mobile payments finally hit the mainstream in Europe.
Very interesting. Richard, how is the market going to evolve differently between the in-store and in-app solution?
Thanks, Alex. I guess while the in-store and payment ecosystem is rapidly crystallizing in the way that Morgan describes, it could well be that the largest area of future growth may be with in-app purchases, either for purchases made online using a mobile phone or tablet, or for payments made in a store but using a mobile to complete the purchase. And I think this is important because, as Morgan says, European consumers have shown themselves to be quite open to the idea of using non-card or non-traditional mechanisms to pay in other contexts. For example, as Morgan says, Klarna and also Trustly in Sweden are good examples of alternative payment solutions in either the mail order or the e-commerce domains. And then in the UK, Bookalink will shortly launch Zap, which is backed pretty solid market research that suggests consumers will be quite comfortable paying directly from their banking apps in store. So I see the growing usage of these alternative solutions could probably and may well reflect a population that's increasingly comfortable buying online and through non-traditional means, and that will probably therefore increasingly use mobile devices for payments, both to purchase inside apps, but also as an alternative to using a traditional card terminal whilst in store. And I guess it should be said that m-commerce already is quite strong in Europe. Figures recently from the Center for Retail Research show that Europeans will spend about 45 billion euros buying mobile devices in 2015. That sounds a lot, but the center claims this is an almost 90% increase from 2014. And I think, you know, as always with these kinds of stats, the telltale is always when there's a surprisingly large percentage for growth. And I guess that what that really tells us is base, although it seems high, is actually quite small and that there's room to grow further. And then finally, I guess we can already see there's a clear trend that we already have mobile apps that allow merchants to offer cardholders the ability to pay in-app, and they're proliferating. Everybody's familiar with Uber that allows you to store a card on file so you can simply leave the cab at the end and the payment's taken automatically. And there are other in-app payment models in other categories, such as restaurants. FlyPay is a good example in the UK, where it allows diners to settle a tab without having to call over the waiter for the check. So to bring all that together, you know, what happens when you consider these in the round? And there's probably two interesting insights. The first is that the services such as Apple Pay and Android Pay begin to roll out and maybe dominate. We might expect to see a move from individual apps such as Uber or FlyPay storing payment card details inside themselves and moving to using the card registers on the device. So that could well have implications for issuers' top-of-wallet strategies, because the game now is to become top-of-wallet for the device, not just for individual apps. And then finally, and perhaps more disruptively, are we going to see more and more retailers begin to think through the question of convergence? How do they bridge between the world of point-of-sale devices and NFC readers and a world where the consumer expects to pay within the app in the way they can do with things such as FlyPay?
So following up on that, Richard, what actions should issuers take to thrive?
I think there's three things they can consider. You know, firstly, determine the best route to offering a mobile wallet or allowing the issuer's cards to be made available to their customers. Given this trend we discussed about the move towards e-commerce and the rise of in-app purchases, issuers will need to evaluate which wallets they should support from the myriad options if they believe that's going to be material, particularly on Android. So it's critical to understand to what degree does a clear roadmap exist from wallet providers that aligns with the issuer's own payment strategies and beliefs about the relative growth paths for these alternate mechanisms. So not directly related to the mobile device, but quite instructive, is perhaps what Barclays is doing with its BPay offering. They've quite clearly positioned that at the center of two emerging payments trends, contactless payments, as we discussed, NFC, and wearable technology, by creating a wristband that is NFC-enabled and allows its wearers to initiate payments. So they may or may not be right about whether that's the right thing to do, but it seems clear they've formed a strategic view and are executing against it. So the lesson is that other issuers, to the extent they're not already, should be thinking what they should be doing in these spaces. And perhaps the most obvious question in this space, though, is to what extent do you believe in-app and e-commerce scenarios will begin to become material and even dominate over time? I think that will determine which wallet models, issuer-specific, M&O-provided, Android Pay, for example, are most appropriate to support, and it may well be a combination. Secondly, it seems clear that issuers need to develop a strategy for their cards to become top of wallet. Although many of these wallets seem to be controlled by platform providers or the telecoms, there's still the opportunity for issuers to consider their strategies for how their card becomes the default. Right now, mobile wallet users or rather card users can specify a different default for different apps. As we move towards defaults on the phone, it becomes ever more important. And then finally, there's the opportunity to increase usage of particular cards, so an issuer's own cards, with innovative and personalized offers. And I think there's still some room for creativity and innovation in that space. So once European issuers have started building strategies for achieving this coveted default placement within an app, it's important that they take steps to encourage usage, responsible usage, of course, but to encourage usefulness nonetheless. And incentives might be quite simple, such as giving cardholders access to their available credit balance or account balance at the time of spend, or the ability to offer suitable promotions at the point of payment. But you can go further. Programs could be developed that encourage consumers to use their card regularly for particular in-app purchases, which could drive up usage. Or issuers could look for specific country or market specific drivers that they could latch onto. Morgan mentioned earlier that one of the key drivers of NFC adoption in the UK, or in London in particular, is the London Tube system. But of course, what's not obvious to everybody is you have to use the same card to touch in and touch out. So therefore, whichever card becomes default in a consumer's mind for the Tube, purely for sheer convenience, is very quickly likely to become their default. And I'm sure there are other examples like that across Europe.
Well, this has been some great insight. Where can readers get more information on this topic?
A white paper to discuss in the topic, and we get into some greater details and delve into a bit more specificity in the VHC and then secure element debate and tokenization as well. And so that white paper is available now on pieces.com and I believe on payments.com as well.
Well, thank you so much both for your time, and we look forward to catching up very shortly.
Wonderful. Thank you, Alex.
Thank you very much.